You're listening to the Soul Source podcast. I'm your host, Raquel Amel. Soul Source exists to share stories that are shaping our world today. We're going straight to the source of the information to give you the best insights on topics and show you what's being done about these issues, as well as how you can help to make a difference. So buckle up, Soul Source Society, because we're about to get started.
When we are not mindful, we tend to do things impulsively. You know, we don't make good decisions.
Hello, I am your host, Raquel Amel, and with so much going on in the world right now, it is really easy to feel overwhelmed. I know that I personally find myself doing this a lot. I'm a big worrier. I'm always looking toward the future, worried about what my next step should be, what's coming around the corner. And with COVID-19 and life not being back to normal and school happening, it's just sending my worry personally and anxiety right through the roof. But the problem is that all of that stress, that's unnecessary, frankly. It can cause a lot of health issues, right? Stress is the problem for a lot of health problems, and worrying about things that I can't control doesn't really make things any better, right? And so to help me figure out how to stop doing this and to get off this hamster wheel and just cope with all the uncertainty in the world right now is someone that I've personally worked with. She's an amazing, straightforward, no bull approach to her work. And that is what I love about her. And I think you will too. Stephanie Bellin is here. Hello, Stephanie. Thank you for joining me on Soul Source today.
Hello, Raquel. And thanks for that glowing endorsement. I really appreciate that.
Well, it's all true. It's very true. And I know that you teach mindfulness and you've worked with some of us here at Red Shoes. But a little more specifically, can you give me your background? What makes you such an expert in this field?
Well, so expert is a scary word to me. But what I will tell you is that over the course of the last 12 to 13 years, I've been doing lots of research in this area, practicing it myself, and then teaching it and training it to others. As you said, I came into Red Shoes, it's always fun coming into Red Shoes. And I learned something every time I go into a different place of employment or have contact with a different individual. So in terms of, am I an expert? Again, that scares me. But I have about between 12 to 13 years of experience teaching and training it and doing lots of different research on the topic. And of course, everywhere I go, I pick up new things and learn new things. So always trying to expand my knowledge base for that.
Well, you are very knowledgeable. So before we get started here, what does mindfulness mean? Give me the definition of what it means to be mindful.
So that's an interesting question because it is based in Buddhism. And it comes from a word sati, S-A-T-I, which means remembrance. And it's remembering to stay near to something. And that thing that I would ask that you stay near to is yourself. And so to me, mindfulness is about not being in the past with regret. You know, woe is me, or in the future with planning and worrying, because neither one of those is guaranteed. I mean, it's just not. So it's remembering to be in the present, this moment, because it's the only one we have. It is this moment. So it's about bringing your body and your mind back in the same space and place, which is the present. And there's lots of different ways to do that.
Okay. So you talked about not worrying about, you know, the stuff in the future or in the past, and all of that can cause stress, right? And stress, everyone knows, can cause some health problems. So mindfulness, it could actually be good in helping with like preventing stress and then the illnesses that can come from that?
Absolutely. So there are tons of benefits for mindfulness. And the way I like to coach and train it is used as a stress management tool. Because when our bodies and our minds are in the same space and place and we're synchronized, we have an instant decrease in our blood pressure. Our cortisol levels go down, which those are your stress hormones. Your serotonin increases. So it's a huge benefit in terms of stress management. And the beauty is it can be done in any wakeful moment of any day. So it costs nothing. Increase in helping boost your immune system, because when your body is synchronized, of course, again, blood pressure goes down, cortisol levels, which is your stress hormone, go down, blood pressure goes down. They have found benefits to people in a decrease in heart disease. And one of the ones that I absolutely love to talk about in terms of a huge benefit besides the stress management piece is it helps with impulsiveness. Because when we are not mindful, we tend to do things impulsively. We don't make good decisions. So it's that whole notion of I'm sitting at my computer and I'm doing my work and I'm eating at the same time. Well, I'm not paying attention then and being mindful of what I'm eating. So now I'm going to plow through the bag of Doritos. And then I go, oh, shoot, why did I do that? So another huge benefit of being mindful is impulse control. And sometimes that is in the form of action, but then it's also in the form of words, things we say to people that we wish we took back. And it's now emotional vomit. And I was like, wow, I wish I had been more mindful in thinking about what I was about to vomit. So lots of health benefits in terms of being mindful.
Yes, it can surface in so many ways. So how does one practice mindfulness then? Is it kind of like meditation where you can carve out a certain part of your day and then that's what you're doing? Or is this an ongoing thing? How does it work?
So here's the deal. This is what I love about mindfulness. It's free. You can do it right like now. I mean, now, if you're listening to every single word I'm saying, how I'm saying it, you know, listening to how I pronounce words, you're being mindful. So it can be like meditation where you actually carve out time to do it. There are apps out there, right? I mean, you can set your alarm on your phone that says, hey, I'm going to now take 5 minutes to be mindful. So yeah, it can be like meditation, but it can also be every wakeful moment of every day. And I say wakeful because I don't know what y'all do in your sleep, but I don't think I'm being mindful in my sleep. At least I don't think I am. However, every wakeful moment. So again, yes, you can carve out time for it, which I certainly recommend, especially to people who have trouble, you know, managing time. And it's a great way to start so that you're kind of putting yourself on your calendar and doing it. Or you can just start to notice everything around you right now. So that's the beauty. Free. You don't need anyone else to do it with you. You don't need an instructor. You don't have to put on special clothes. You can do it right now. So two options in my mind.
Awesome. Well, I know right now, me personally, I am being driven strongly by emotions. I've taken numerous like tests, like Myers-Briggs and different things. And I'm just, that's how I am naturally, is emotions tend to drive me. So because I know this about myself, how do you practice mindfulness when your emotions are kind of in the way or running high, especially right now with everything going on with COVID and school and kids going back and just stress at an all new level? Like, how do you not let all of that get in the way of trying to just be mindful?
So I love that you asked about that, because to me, when we're being mindful of what's about to come out, right, in the form of action, words, nonverbals, and we're being mindful in the moment, we are then practicing what I call the power in the pause. And what that's doing is when we emotionally respond, it's our amygdala is kind of taking over. And that does come out in the form of vomit sometimes. And then what we find is we have stress because we're in the past with regret about what we said, or we're in the future with worrying about, ooh, what will the repercussions be? Like, where did the vomit land and what do I have to clean up? So when we are being mindful, we are listening to our bodies. You know, what's happening? When we're triggered emotionally, mm-hmm. we feel it, we sense it. So people who are being mindful, they know their triggers. They know their emotional triggers, and they know specifically what those triggers are. So they're body aware. They're also body aware that when they have the trigger, they know then what's happening to them physically in their body. For me, when I'm triggered, I start to clench my jaw. My blood pressure starts to go up. So if I'm being mindful about what's happening in my body in that moment, I know that I've just been triggered. So then I can mindfully build in a pause and a good pause question to stop me from having to clean up a mess later or live in the past with regret or the future with planning and worrying. So really it's about managing your amygdala and engaging your cortex with some really good pause opportunities to be mindful. And it's about knowing your body, like being there with yourself and your body, knowing what's happening so that you don't respond in a way that's emotional in nature.
So that can be hard though, right? Like if you're starting, you're new to this, how, like you said, you know how your body reacts, what your triggers are. But if you're new, you don't know that. How do you start to know your body enough to know that?
Okay, so here's what I recommend to people so that you can start practicing this, is keep a trigger journal, right? Keep a trigger journal. So as things happen, you encounter certain, what I would call maybe frequent flyers. And I mean frequent flyers that are frequent flyers that you don't want to be frequent flyers. You, maybe they have a personality trait that reminds you of somebody else, or maybe it's a fellow coworker who starts to be coming, you know, late to work, and you start to go, oh, this is going to be just like so-and-so or so-and-so. That's what's happening in your brain. So people who are practicing mindfulness, they know their triggers. So if you're just starting out, start to keep a trigger journal, right? What are my triggers? What is starting to get my emotions right going? And then what's happening to me physically and emotionally in my body? Writing those things down. So you start to identify what those are. You got to start there. If you don't know what your triggers are, how do you manage emotionally what's happening to you? So that's the first step if you're new to this. Know your triggers. Start writing them down and get specific about it. For example, I was working with a guy doing some job coaching, and we were talking about this and how to be more mindful and not emotionally vomit. And I said, let's identify some of your triggers. So he went for a week and started identifying them. He came back and he said, I can't stand lazy people. And I said, okay, Joe. Now that wasn't his name, of course, but we're just going to call him Joe because I love the name. Joe, what does that mean to you? I mean, what's lazy people? And as we talked through it, and we started digging deeper to get more specific, what it was people who challenge him on doing his job right. Like, why are you doing all of that? And he's going, hey, I'm just trying to do my job here. He saw that as them trying to be lazy. So we identified and got more specific about what that actual trigger was. And it was people who are challenging him when he's trying to do the right job. That's the specific trigger. Once he knows that and he knows what's happening to him physically and emotionally, he's being more mindful about what's happening in that moment to his body. He can then build a pause between action and reaction so that, again, he's not spewing the vomit.
That makes so much sense. Yeah. To like break it down, because like you said, like it's so easy to lazy people, but it's so much more than that.
It is. And it sometimes is really a lot more specific. It could even go back to a specific person or a specific event in that individual's life. But it pays to dig, and it pays to dig deep. So you got to start somewhere with getting those triggers down and then noticing what's happening in your body when you're triggered.
That's a great tip. I love it. So you speak about 6 tenets of mindfulness when you're talking about mindfulness, and I want to talk about some of those. I'm going to lay them out right now for everybody. So the 6 tenets, they're unselfconsciousness, savoring, breath, flow, acceptance, and engagement. Now, we're briefly getting into each of these here in a minute, but if you could choose just one right now, Stephanie, for the time that we're living in, what would it be and why?
So Raquel, I love that you push me to just one.
I know you love them all.
I love them all. But right now, when we are in a moment of crisis, and this won't be the last crisis, to me, the pandemic is a crisis. Mindfulness of acceptance, I would say, is the one that I would challenge people to focus on now, right now. And why do I say that? Is because what you kind of see happening out there is people who are in the past with regret, like, oh, if we had only known sooner, we could have done X, Y, or Z, could have, should have, would have. And they're focused there, and they're, woe is me, why didn't, right? Or they're saying, well, what about the next one? Or if it gets worse, or if it, right? We don't know that yet. Or when is there going to be a vaccine? So it's, again, past with regret, future with planning and worrying. So what I love about mindfulness of acceptance right now, especially radical acceptance, is it speaks to going to what's happening, feeling what you have to feel about it, recognizing the facts of the situation, accepting those facts from reliable sources, so that you can then say, okay, what can I do about this right now? Which is the only moment you can control. Mm-hmm. Again, that kind of couples with that whole notion of the emotional response. But when we don't mindfully accept, again, we're in the past with regret, the future with planning and worrying, and we can't be focused on the facts of now, the situation of now so that we can be innovative in potentially coming up with some solutions of how to move forward in the moment. So I would say mindfulness of acceptance. If you're going to push me to choose just one, that would be the one that I would recommend.
Yeah. And so we had talked a little bit before, right, before I started this interview with you, and you had talked about acceptance, but you talked about a unique piece to acceptance, something called radical acceptance. And you said that this is kind of this new, well, radical idea. Talk with me a little bit about what radical acceptance is.
Well, so, you know, as far as new, it's newer to me. And I don't know how many people out there actually, you know, have heard of radical acceptance, but the first time I heard it, no matter how you feel about Oprah or Lady Gaga, and I don't get any kickbacks from these folks, but I was watching an interview of Lady Gaga on Oprah where she was talking about her mental health. And she started speaking about what was important for her was being mindful and radically accepting of who she was, who she is, and her challenges that she was facing. So if you get a chance and if you kind of go out there and find that on YouTube where she talks about radical acceptance, it rang true for me. I'm like, oh, this is mindfulness of acceptance. And how is this a little bit different, or what is radical acceptance? So to me, radical acceptance is being able to say in this moment radically, I accept myself. I accept my life for what I am in the moment, not necessarily what I want it to be in the future or I wish it had been in the past. You radically accept so you can say, what can I control and what can't I? Most of us know the only thing we can control, and I mean the only thing, is ourselves. When we are focused on the things that we can't control, like the virus, right? I mean, we can't control the virus. Now, hopefully at some point we get to a point where we have a vaccine that helps. But the only thing we can control is ourselves. So then we can focus on, well, what can we do in this moment to change this situation if need be, or enjoy this moment if need be. We can then survey ourselves without judgment. So radically accept, survey ourselves without judgment, because you and I both know, Raquel, when we judge, where does that lead?
Nowhere good.
Down the rabbit hole. Yep. And we're in the past with regret. We're in the future with planning and worrying. And we're now not present. We can also acknowledge the facts. What I find, especially now, is people aren't necessarily looking at the facts and then the sources of where they're getting those facts. When we radically accept, we can take a hard look at what the facts truly are, the sources where those facts are coming from. And here's the best part. When we are mindfully and radically accepting of where we're at, we can get really innovative about potential solutions. There are constant examples out there, and I'm just going to use the mask thing, all right? The mask thing. When all of this started happening and there was a shortage of masks, mm-hmm. there were a lot of people who were saying, whoa, what are we going to do? Woe is me, right? I wish we had more masks. Or, ugh, 2 weeks from now, we're going to need more masks. What are we going to do? And then you had those people out there who were getting on YouTube. They were showing you how to create a simple mask from in your house with those nice old-fashioned handkerchiefs and like rubber bands. I mean, innovation is huge. So when we radically accept, we can get to a point where our bodies and our minds are in the same space and place. We're acknowledging our situation. We're feeling what we have to feel about it so we can get innovative and do something about it and move on. So lots of great examples. I have one more quick one. I have a client I work with, NEW Retina in Nina, and one of their leaders in the Stevens Point location, when all of this started happening, they were trying to retrofit their workspace in place for patients to come in. Mm-hmm. Her two younger children, who are Boy Scouts, were like, they're on it, right? They radically accepted, this is the problem, here's where we're at. And they came up with this really great way to retrofit that area to make it safer for all people. Radically accept, acknowledge the facts, right? Here's where we're at, accept it so we can be innovative and come up with something and move on. So,
and this is good for, this is good for everyday life, right? Just to be able to move on. But it's also,
this is good for everyday life, right? Just to be able to move on. But it's also, I mean, almost critical for business owners, because you got to keep your business going, and you can't let yourself be put off by everything that's going on right now.
Well, and not just put off in terms of finding those kinds of solutions to keep your business going, but mentally.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I had someone share with me once that they were keeping in their living room these Christmas cards that they had been collecting for like 3 years. And the reason they were collecting them is because they had elected not to send out Christmas cards. And that stack of cards, they felt so guilty about because here people were, right, sending them the cards. And they kept it in the living room next to their chair. So every time they went in their living room, they look at it and they go, oh, I feel horrible, right? I mean, I never sent these people and now they're sitting there. So they were constantly reminded of something from the past. Yet they also had cards sitting there that they worried about if they opened them, how they'd feel. And then they bottled up all their feeling about that. And every time they walked back into their living room, which was, I mean, how often do you go in your living room?
Numerous times a day.
Yeah.
Numerous times a day. And there those cards sat as a reminder of past with regret, future with planning and worrying.
Well, that's just bad energy.
No, it's bad energy. And I said to her, Carla, no, again, that's not her name.
Yeah.
One I choose. Carla, you're going to go home tonight. You're going to radically accept that, yes, you didn't send those cards. You're going to feel what you have to feel about it. Guilt. You're going to cry if you have to, right? But you're going to open the cards. And she said, Stephanie, do you think I could do it the next night? Because my husband, he's going to be home and I don't want him to see me cry. I said, no, he's a roadblock. Sometimes when we are trying to be mindful and radically accept, there are roadblocks. Sometimes those come in the form of people. Sometimes they come in the form of guilt, right? Toxic guilt. So I said to her, no, you're getting in your car. You're going to drive to the Quick Trip. You're going to open those cards. You're going to feel what you have to feel about it. Bawl if you have to, right? But rip the Band-Aid off. Open the cards. And I said, Carla, besides, there might be money in there. She's like, I never thought about that. So what did she do? She radically accepted that, hey, I didn't send the cards. I don't feel good about it. She drove to Quick Trip. She opened the cards. Instantly, now she doesn't have this stack in her living room that she's reminded of. She felt what she had to feel about it. And now she can move on. And then she called me and said, hey, there was some money. And I said, that is so fantastic. But more importantly, what wasn't there any longer was the guilt over seeing that stack grow. So just like in a business who's trying to come up with a tangible solution for a problem, there's the mental health side of things as well when we talk about radically accepting.
And we will be right back after this short break. There are thousands of jobs out there, good paying ones too, but they're being overlooked. Why? Well, it's because they're in manufacturing. You see, it's not really sexy to work in a job that pays an average of $87,000 a year. It's not sexy that you have most of your education paid for through your employer while working. It's also not sexy that there's a ton of new technology coming out all the time, making these careers faster, better, and safer than ever before. Wait a minute. I'm about to marry a man who works in manufacturing. He makes nearly twice as much as I do, and I have a college degree. I don't know about you, but I think that makes manufacturing very sexy. To learn how you can get a job that'll have you living the good life, visit newmfgalliance.org. That's newmfgalliance.org. Welcome back. And I want to talk about some of these other tenets of mindfulness here too, starting with one that just seems really simple, and that's breath, because we breathe every day. It seems like a simple concept. How is the breath you're talking about different than like just breathing?
Well, so there are 20,000 on average. Someone takes 20,000 breaths a day.
Wow.
Now, when you're awake, right? I mean, some of them are while you're sleeping, but while you're awake, depending on how much you sleep, I mean, I'm a 5 hour a night person. So that gives me a lot of opportunities to be mindful of breath. So here's what I like to say to people in terms of how is it any different than like breathing and meditation? So in mindfulness of breath, what I would challenge you to do is just breathe. Don't be worried, right, in the past with regret, the future with planning and worrying about, am I breathing right? Am I breathing correctly? No, just breathe. And when you breathe, just focus on it. How does it feel when it goes in your nose, down, right, down the back of your throat, into your lungs? How does your body feel? Just being totally mindful of every part of the breath and how it's making you feel. differently. I'm not worried about how it's going in, how it's coming out. You know, am I doing it right? Just breathe and focus on it. Here's the other trick in mindfulness of breath. If you feel yourself going away, like your mind starts wandering to other things because, we usually do, don't beat yourself up. Use something that brings you back to your breath. Now, I like to say now, internally. Some people think that that's too forceful, like now, right now. Use something that works for you that brings you back to the presence or your breath. Some people like to say back to the breath. But don't beat yourself up, because then you start going down that bad rabbit hole of past with regret, future with planning and worrying, and we're no longer breathing. So to me, that's the difference, is you're basically focusing on everything.
How long do you breathe like that then?
I'm going to tell you to breathe like that all the time, right? I mean, any moment that you possibly can, mindfully breathe. Now, what's realistic? I would challenge you that start building something what's attainable, you know, with something that's attainable for you to do, where if you're saying, okay, Stephanie, I'm busy. I got 30 seconds every hour. Great. Just start 30 seconds every hour. So what I'll tell you is set a realistic goal and stick to it. The more you practice it, the more it becomes natural. It's like tying your shoes. Right? It's system two brain function then. You're doing it and it becomes natural. You'll just start doing it more. So start small, start realistic, and set realistic expectations.
It sounds almost like a de-escalation technique, you know, where like if you're like really getting like worked up or in the middle of something, you just take a minute, focus on your breath, breathe. It'll bring you back. It almost centers you.
Absolutely. And that goes back to that pause, right?
Yeah.
It's a pause technique that you put in place between action and reaction. So again, you don't vomit with words, nonverbals, writing, you know, like a tweet or an email or action. So yeah, it is a great pause and de-escalation tool.
Awesome. So next one on my list here is mindfulness of flow. What is that?
So I love mindfulness of flow, and to really describe it, I'm going to give you an example. Okay. But essentially, it's when you've been in those moments. And actually for me, it's this one. It's stuff like this, where you are passionate about what you're doing. You love it. Your energy is up. You could do it for hours and hours and hours. I mean, I'm not going to talk for hours, Raquel. Don't get scared here. But you could do it for hours. And when you're done, you still have an energy. You can also tell me exactly what you did in those hours. Like you didn't get lost. And then there's typically a reward that's attached to it that you either give yourself or somebody gives you, and you can step back and see what you've accomplished.
Okay.
So what I challenge people in a workspace in place is when you're setting your goals, challenge, are you in flow? Meaning, are you setting clear goals, ones that you could recite and a 12-year-old could easily understand them? They're attainable. When we're not being mindful, sometimes we set goals that are not attainable. Like they're too difficult or they're too easy. And are they the right amount of challenge? So again, clear, attainable, and the right amount of challenge. You will find yourself typically then that you're in flow. And when you're not in flow, and you find yourself constantly distracted, chances are maybe the goal's not challenging enough. Or maybe it's not attainable, so you're putting it off and you're procrastinating. I mean, anything technology related, as you already know from me,
it's your favorite thing.
no, that's why I appreciate all your help. So mindfulness of flow, the example I'll give you is I had a lady in training once say to me, Stephanie, that I know I'm in flow when I'm quilting. And I said, wow, quilting, that's not me, but I give you a ton of credit there. She said, I literally could quilt for hours. I'm engaged. I'm energized. At the end of a long stretch of time, I still feel that way. Mm-hmm. She said, I can step back and see what I've accomplished. I mean, I can see my squares. And then the reward that's attached is I get together with a bunch of other people who quilt, and we put these squares together in a large quilt that we then donate. Ah, reward. Mm-hmm. So again, flow. Are you in flow? Clear goals, attainable, the right amount of challenge, so that when you're doing them and you're working in that space and place, time goes by whoo, quick, right? You're energized when it's done. You can step back and see what you've accomplished, and then there's a reward attached that either you give yourself or somebody else gives you. That's flow. I love flow.
It sounds like being in the zone. That's the term I use. It's like I'm in the zone, I'm working on something, and I'm just like in a groove.
Yep, in the zone. That's a great way to put it. Same thing, flow.
Nice. So, okay, this one always trips me up when I'm trying to say it, but mindfulness of unselfconsciousness. What is that?
I know, it's a mouthful, right? This is the one that's, I think, sometimes the hardest for people to wrap their brains around, and not just because it's long and harder to pronounce. Uh-huh. So mindfulness of unselfconsciousness will tell you that step back and look at how you're a larger part of something. Sometimes people are in the past with regret or the future with planning and worrying because they feel alone, and then they focus on their mistakes, you know, the mistakes they made or the repercussion of the mistake they made and what will happen to you. So they're individual, they feel alone. So they don't see themselves as a larger part of something. And when you're focused just on you and your mistakes and don't see yourself as a larger part, your performance isn't great. So let me give an example, because it's easier to do that. So my husband's in a band locally, and he's lead guitar. It's a 5-member band, and he'll have 3 sets typically in a night. And after the first set, he might come back and say, "Oh, hey, how did that sound?" And I'll say, "Oh, that was really great. You know, people loved it." And he said, "Yeah, but you know what? On songs 1, 3, and 5, I made a mistake here. I made a mistake there. You know," and he's lamenting. Or not being mindful in the present moment. He's in the past with regret about his mistakes. So when we talk about those mistakes, well, then what were you doing on songs 2, 4, 6? You were thinking about the mistakes you made on songs 1, 3. And I said to him, besides, you're a part of a band. Mm-hmm. You're not up there just right performing on your own. And even if you were, and you were focused on the mistakes you made on songs 1, 3, and 5, well, what's happening on songs 2, 4, and 6, if that's where your focus is? So if you want to improve your performance, stop thinking about what happened mm-hmm. or what might happen. Focus on it, what's in front of you. And again, you're always a larger part of something. So what I said to him was, hey, come back here when the 3 other gentlemen just do the song with the 3 of them. Stand back here by me. Tell me what you think. After the song was over, he's like, "Oh, that sounded great." I said, "Oh, you didn't hear the mistakes that so-and-so and so-and-so made on, you know, verse 1, chorus 2? No. And then, of course, I joke around and I say, that's because you're a part of a band. You're part of a larger part of something, mindfulness of unselfconsciousness. And, of course, I joked around and said, besides, nobody's focused on just you. I mean, come on, right? And they're drunk. So
everybody sounds great.
Everybody sounds great. So again, mindfulness of unselfconsciousness. See yourself as a larger part of something. To improve that performance, stop thinking about what you did or what might you do, and focus on what's right in front of you to improve that performance.
Oh, that makes a ton of sense. And I love that example.
Oh, yeah. I love that one too. I don't know if everybody loves that one. Hopefully he won't be mindful when he's listening to this podcast.
Oh, he'll love that you're using him as an example, I'm sure. So savoring is the next one. Mindfulness of savoring. What is that?
So I love mindfulness of savor as well. And oftentimes when people think of savor, they think of food. And so I'll just talk about that in terms of food, because it just helps to put it in place. Mindfulness of savor is savor everything that's right in front of you right now. The words a person is saying, the food you're eating at that time, right? How your shower is feeling, and instead of thinking about what you're going to after the shower. Because again, nothing in the past is can be changed. Nothing in the future is guaranteed. So let's mindfully savor what's in front of us. So the example I like to use, because when we savor, we are less impulsive. So again, let's go back to that. I'm at my computer and I'm eating, and I've got a bag of Doritos next to me. And as I'm working, I'm eating the Doritos. Well, I'm not paying attention to both. I'm not savoring both. So all of a sudden, as I'm doing my work and I start to grab to the bag of Doritos and I notice that I'm at the bottom of the bag, ugh. Now I'm in the past with regret, right? I go, oh, why did I do that? And I'm in the future with going, how am I going to burn all that off? I don't even have time to get 1 hour of exercise in, let alone the 4 or 5 it's going to take to burn what I just ate. And the only thing that I have left to savor in that moment is the stuff that's on my fingers. I mean, if you eat Doritos, you know stuff is left on your fingers. So mindfulness of savor will tell you that what's right in front of you, savor it. Notice everything about it. Be conscious about what you're doing, what you're putting in your mouth, what you're saying, what you're hearing, what you're suggesting. Notice everything, savor it so that we're not impulsive.
That's just a good one for life, I feel like, because life is so short, right? So you want to savor every moment.
Exactly. And the reference, and again, and I don't get any kickbacks from anybody, but in my research, I have found a really helpful book on savor, and it is about food, and it's not a diet plan. It's by Susan Albers, and it's called Eating Mindfully. What I loved about it is, as I read it, I could take and replace food with anything, right? Savor a conversation. Savor the next time I do shower. Savor the next time I am shopping. Savor the next time I'm petting my animal, right? Talking to my child. Savor is just that. In the moment, enjoy what you're doing, right?
I love it. And I'm sure you just saw me there with my dog shoving her in the kitchen. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
Raquel. So this is fun for people who are listening to a podcast and not seeing what was happening. Yeah. I did see that, and it was trying to be mindful of what I was saying, but it was fun because then I could interject the whole part about petting your pet. So a little fun for those of you who can't see the action that's happening.
Yeah, I'm at home recording.
I was savoring that, to be honest.
Well, I appreciate that. You did a nice job of keeping that answer going. So our last tenet of mindfulness here is mindfulness of engagement. What is that? Explain that to me.
Okay, so I keep saying I love these, but really, all of these tenets are aimed at the same thing, right? It's just 6 different ways that we can think about it and practice it. So all of these tenets of mindfulness get us to bring our body and our mind back in the same space and place. Mindfulness of engagement is sometimes we don't even realize how we got to and fro, right? So I use the example here of most of us, well, maybe not today because we're all at home, but most of us, when we do go to work or we go to the store, go to an appointment that is, you know, a reoccurring appointment, we typically travel the same way, barring construction. And then we typically travel the same way home, barring construction or other stops. Sometimes I've gotten to my house after, you know, getting home from work, or I've gotten to a job site and I know the route because I've made it several times. I know the route I took, but I get in my driveway or I get to the place and I'm like, oh, you know what? I have absolutely no clue what happened on that journey.
Is that kind of scary? You like zone out while you're driving.
Absolutely scary. It's absolutely scary. Or sometimes, you know, if you ever saw the movie Jumanji, and there's that moment where the woman is at the stop and go light and the whole jungle is passing in front of her and she doesn't even realize it. And then she kind of looks up like, well, nothing has happened in this world today and it's just the same. Yet a whole jungle just passed by. The beauty of engagement is you can do it, of course, anywhere, right? It's noticing everything around you. And I love when you asked before, how do people who are kind of new to this, how do they start and practice mindfulness of engagement? Do it at the times when you don't have a choice about being where you're at. So I say, like standing in line at a grocery store. When we're standing in line at a grocery store, we tend to get kind of impatient, right? Then we start to go in the past with, oh, I don't like what I chose. I know I don't like what I said to so-and-so. Oh gosh, after I leave here, I've got to do X, Y, and Z. We're stuck, right? There's someone in front of us. There's someone behind us. We can't leave the line because we need the eggs. We need the milk. It's a great opportunity to just engage. Look around. What's around you? Notice every detail of everything that's in the aisle. Notice every detail and everything about the person standing in front of you, right? What are the sounds that are happening in and around you? That's how people who are just starting this can practice engagement, is in the times, again, that you're kind of stuck. You're in your car, you're at a stop and go light. Notice everything, look around you. The beauty of mindfulness of engagement is when we start doing that, when we start engaging, we don't any longer miss out on opportunities that are right in front of us. Sometimes they're opportunities for a stress break, stress management break. Sometimes they're opportunities in a new job. Maybe it's new financial opportunity. Maybe it's, wow, I just saw my child take their first steps and I had missed, if I wasn't engaged, I would have missed it. Because when we miss out, we have past with regret, the future of, will I miss out more? And a quick fun example of that is, of course, I don't practice mindfulness all the time. I'm human. I'm human. So I was on my way to teach mindfulness and I was like, what a perfect opportunity, right, for me to practice mindfulness. So I decided to mindfully engage. Now, I was on my way and it was a way I've traveled hundreds of times. And as I'm looking around, noticing everything, I look up and it's a local establishment. The name has changed now, but they have one of those old fashioned marquees where you actually change out, you know, the letters. You don't see those too often. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even know there was a sign there. And I look up and there was a message on the sign. Now this was a drinking establishment, mind you know, like for alcoholic or adult beverages. On the sign, here's what it said. Soup of the day, Jameson. Well, now I think most of us know what Jameson is. And here I'm like, wow, an unexpected opportunity. Now, some of you might be thinking, what, to drink the Jameson? For me, no, because that's not my thing, right? I mean, right now I'm not drinking, so that's really not my thing. But for me, the unexpected opportunity was that sign. It was huge stress relief because it made me laugh out loud. I mean, like one of those gut laughs that, you know, reduces stress.
The good kind.
The good kind. And of course now, right, every time I go past that sign, I now look for it. There is an unexpected opportunity that you are missing out on by not engaging. Mindfulness of engagement. Notice everything. And how to practice it? Start when you don't have a choice, right? You're stuck. Standing in line. You're in your car, right? You're stuck. You don't have a choice. Practice engagement.
I love that. And I love that that's the one we're ending on, because especially right now, you know, with all these things that we can't control, it's important, I think, to not miss out on those small things or those little things that are still happening. Like your kids are going back to school. You're still working. The seasons are changing. All these things are happening. Don't miss out.
Absolutely. And again, when we engage, we do see opportunities that are right there in front of us that we wouldn't have seen had we not been engaged. Another quick little story. My daughter's boyfriend, he said to me, if you want to increase your business, you need to get more out there in social media. And he's got me on Twitter and he had me beef up my LinkedIn. And I'm telling you, managing all of those, right? When all of a sudden these notifications are coming up on my phone, I cannot 100% engage when I'm trying to manage both at the same time. So I've now dedicated times of engagement for both, right? I've set those times aside. So again, pretty simple for someone who's getting started. Set realistic goals. And when you set those times for yourself, be there, be present, give 100% of yourself in island of isolation to that individual piece. Great opportunity to be mindful. Great opportunity for a reduction in cortisol, an increase in serotonin, a reduction in your blood pressure. Mindfulness is the most inexpensive form of stress management that requires nobody but you. That's it.
That's what makes it so great.
So easy and accessible. You don't even have to put on a pair of shoes. And if you do, pay attention to putting on your shoes. You're being mindful.
So, I mean, great advice. And this is just a snippet of the stuff that Stephanie does on a regular basis. She's amazing. So if people want help, they need help with mindfulness, or they just want to talk to you about like, okay, I like this idea. What do I do? How can they find you?
So I, again, I'm on Twitter at Bellin Stephanie, and Bellin is B-E-L-L-I-N. And Stephanie is the, I don't know, standard way, P-H-A-N-I-E. I'm also on LinkedIn. You can find me through Bellin Training Solutions or Stephanie Bellin. I have my own business, as Raquel knows, so it's Bellin Training Solutions. I also still have, I know it sounds crazy, I still have an AOL account. It's S. Randall, and that's 2Ls, 21, at AOL.com. I kept it for the most part because I used to love when they would say, you've got mail. They took that away, but I've still kept that as an email. So multiple ways to find me. I also can be found through my phone number, which I will give out, 920-851-5202.
Well, you know what? You're not the only one with an AOL email. I still have one of those floating around too. So,
you know what? I love that you acknowledge that.
We gotta represent together.
Exactly. And don't you want them to bring back the you've got mail?
I mean, I kind of miss it a little bit. Yeah, it's fun.
I miss it. And I didn't even, you know, when we are engaged, because that's something you hear all the time. When it wasn't there and I'm engaged, I noticed to change my mood. So then I had to, you know, mindfully be that whole emotional response piece of not going, what?
Well, I appreciate you being here on the show today, Stephanie. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. I'm sure it's not only going to help me, but helping a lot of other people who are listening here today too.
Well, I really appreciate the invite and I love Red Shoes and everybody who works there. It's always been a pleasure to go and do training on that site. So I thank you for inviting me to do this podcast. It's really been a pleasure too.
Thank you for listening. And if you ever want to hear more Soul Source, subscribe to the show. We're available wherever you listen to podcasts. And if there's something you want us to talk about on the show, we can do that too. We have a Facebook group called the Soul Source Society. It is where we're interacting with listeners, sharing special content only seen in that group, talk about shows, get ideas for future podcasts, and overall, we're just having a lot of fun. That's Soul Source Society on Facebook. We hope to see you there. Soul Source is brought to you by Red Shoes, Inc., a leading agency specializing in crisis and strategic communications, media relations, social media, and so much more. To learn more about Soul Source and Red Shoes, visit us at redshoesinc.com.